Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 220. This is part one, The Scent Sends. Today is Friday, November 11th, 2011. This is going to be posted at 11:11 a.m. We got the 11s going on today. Happy Veterans Day, just for you.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz. That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available. And that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's Club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me, but I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it, gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down, the messages, divine thoughts, The Scent Sends, The Invisible People, Poverty. This is going to be a good month be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, The Scent Sends. Do you ever wonder why you're here? Many times I've wondered why I'm here. And then, of course, the song always comes to me when I wonder that. Why am I here? Why am I living? Why do I care? Why am I giving? Or, why, oh, why did I ever leave old Egypt? Why, oh, why did I ever have to go? Did you ever wonder that? Did you ever wonder that? Sue, did you ever wonder that, or Debbie? When it seems like all the talent you have isn't received? And you think, boy, if I was in the world right now, I can sing better than those people. Well, they drowned out their music with their guitars. Did you ever wonder that? I mean, I have. I think, wow, look at all of this business out here. Too bad we don't have a cash register. And the answer always comes to me, I have sent you. John 17 and 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Did you ever wonder how many times and think about how many times we use the words sent and send? I send you my love, and it's in all the songs. Or you send me means you like me. Or I like you. I send you my sympathy. Sometimes I wonder about that. I'm sending you a big bouquet of roses. We send letters and we send gifts. We send our children to school. We're always sending something or somebody, or we are being sent or doing something or other with ourselves. But anyway, it keeps us very busy. Our mail even is sent. We communicate by it. Someone down in the office said, did you send that? Yes, I sent it yesterday, and I hope it doesn't get sent back. That's how I get my messages. And I thought, oh, but what a wonderful send to be sent by Jesus Christ. And so John 17 and 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And so here is a fact that you can rest on. Let all the rest of shim sham go. I mean, here is a fact that you can rest on. The Father sent the Son into the world. That's a fact. Did he have a real easy time? No. Anyway, the disciples believe this. Jesus says himself, they have believed that thou didst send me. And so number one, essential in saving faith is to believe Jesus Christ was sent from God. And of course, they knew he was sent for them, and we need to know that. And they also knew that in him was eternal life. And so they had entered into a new dimension. Do you remember when you entered into a new dimension? A possession of a new and heavenly life? Sometimes, if we're not busy doing the Lord's work, it becomes like the world says, old hat. We get up in the morning and we put our old hat on. Our old, we're so used to, fishing hat. With all the little barbs in it and little things in it and a little ticket maybe here to something. And you know, they're a little hat, a little clown's hat. We really know that we're not going to go fishing, but we like to put on the hat anyway. And we put on the hat and we go out. Becomes old hat doing the Lord's work, doesn't it? We don't even seek after new baits. Becomes old and dried up. But anyway, they rejoice therein, the Bible says, because this fact was indisputable to them. When they spoke of Jesus Christ, it was from a fact. I spoke to a man down here yesterday that came into the building and was scouting around the building in here. And I said, you know, sir, I am really interested in what I'm doing here. And he said, well, that's a fact. See, he knew by the enthusiasm, by the rapid talk, almost like a Thompson submachine gun, that I meant business about this feeding of the poor and the ministering of the gospel. And so he said an interesting thing, that's a fact. And if we can become facts, then we can talk about the fact. Jesus Christ came to save the world. See, we have to be realistic about it, don't we? We have to speak, I think, from a reprogrammed subconscious mind. Most of our actions that we do come from a subconscious mind. I mean, automatically, we get jealous about things. Automatically, we're on guard. Automatically, from our training, we think, they're talking about me. This is that and so on like that. From our subconscious, we have barriers. We need to be reprogrammed in our subconscious so that we are facts. Walking, talking epistles, known and read of all men. A walking, talking fact. I mean, this fact, they based their salvation on this fact. It was their hope and it was their joy. It was their, let's say, main theme and thought. And their main subject to talk about. Sometimes I enter into frivolous communication with others, and it gets boring right away. Because I miss the point. Not that you shouldn't have fun, I'm not saying that. But they had a blessed assurance. Well, they had to have. I mean, they were stoned and beaten and whipped and shipwrecked and bit by snakes and hated and despised of men. Our Lord based upon that another fact. He says to the Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And just as surely as Christ was sent into the world by the Father, so surely are the saints sent into the world by the church and by Christ. Did you hear what I said there? Saints. You are sent. You on the radio that are sitting, you are sent. Not only the apostles, but all the saints are sent. And I would never dare limit this, as some do, to only ministers. and evangelists and priests. Because the Bible pointedly means all of us are sent. All of the saints are sent. And so those who are sitting around doing nothing, I have news for you. You also are sent. You also have a commission, a duty, if you will, a dying daily, just like you help your ministers to do, you listening on the radio. You also must get into the fire. You just don't throw old tires and things on there and say, well, let's help this thing out. Let's make for sure this person is really sent. And the proof will be if we throw all this junk and tires and all of this verbiage at them on the fire, and if they stand, then we'll know they're of God. No. You have also been sent to get into the fire also. In Psalm 111 and 9 says, He sent redemption unto His people. Now in Egypt, He not only sent not only a deliverer, but an actual deliverance. Not only a redeemer, but a complete redemption. And it's the same way in the spirit realm. The blood of Jesus Christ delivered us, and also delivered us all the way from sin, plural. And it says, He hath commanded His covenant forever. It can never be reversed. And that's a fact. And so when we start building a case on why we should stand and why we should stay and why we should go on, we have to look at the fact Jesus Christ came to save the world and He has sent us out and commissioned us. Just like He's commissioned us. Now are you hearing this? Just like He has commissioned us, and listen now, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, not just the minister, not just the evangelist, not just the priest, but all of the saints. I'm not disputing the special call of pastors and teachers and evangelists. They have a peculiar responsibility. But no man alone is sent by the great head of the church. The whole body is commissioned to go out into the world, in some regard, minister the gospel unto all creation, maybe in a different capacity than behind the pulpit. But anyway, we who spend our lives in teachings are servants for Christ's sake. But I think we also rejoice, you preachers listening on the radio, that everybody is involved in the high calling of Christ. Everybody. Sometimes we misplace that truth, that fact. We get to saying, well, here's a person sent of God. No, you also are sent of God. Maybe your talents are different. Yet you are equally given to Christ Jesus. He's no respecter of persons. To be then by Him sent into the world. And this is no small thing. And to our Lord it was a special matter of prayer. And I think then it is here in that prayer, which always seems to me to be the very core of the whole Bible, The Lord not only here pleads about our being saved, but about our being sent. They're saved, and now I send them. They are sent. And I think if we pay close attention to the prayers of Jesus, we'll learn a little more about his thoughts and his ways, which I said Friday night are way above our thoughts and way above our ways. I think there's something here that deserves our deepest thought. I think there are two petitions in our Lord's Prayer which bear upon this. First, we hear the petition, Holy Father, keep them. Now, you cannot serve God unless he preserves you. I found that out. Have you ever tried to preserve yourself? Have you? No, you'll never, preacher, keep the Lord's flock unless he first shepherds you. And I believe a shepherd never leaves his, let's call it, turf. Never. Not unless the Lord sends him somewhere else. You stay where the Lord has put you. And so the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord's vineyard must be kept by the keepers. And then the keepers have to be kept by Christ. Bible says we're all kept by the power of God. Now that's a fact, and that's a comfort to me. And then notice the other prayer which immediately follows, precedes the text. Sanctify them. Now that's kind of a rough road, sanctification. That's kind of a bumpy road because it means be dedicated only unto the Lord. God isn't going to use an unholy messenger, someone that's just halfway with him. You must be consecrated and you must be cleansed, and that simply means you're born again, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Devoted and dedicated to God alone. Or else you'll not have the first qualification for the divine mission. I mean, you preachers that aren't born again and don't preach born again, you're not qualified. What qualifies you to be sent? You have to go to the sender. You have to receive the sender, and then the sender sends you. That's simple, isn't it? And you'll really know that you're truly sent when everything sort of comes against you. Now, get saved, Pastor, and go into that church where there are no people that are, very few that are sent, that are sitting there, that haven't been sent yet. They'll send you out. You'll get sent out in a hurry. How will that happen? By a bored board? Are you hearing this? Christ's prayer is, sanctify them through the truth. Now, what is the truth? Well, the truth is everything. Everything is really the truth. A lie still has some truth in it. Anything that has being has truth in it. Might be turned around, but there's a smidgen of truth, even in a lie. Because everything that was created through Christ, and everything was created through him, and it was all the truth. It might be darkened, but there's still a speck of truth in everything, isn't there? So the more truth you believe, the more sanctified you'll be. How much do you believe? Under how much pressure can you believe? Well, can you believe when the enemy is shooting arrows at you? And the arrows are all over your right side, you're over your right side, and then all of a sudden you start to tip over, and then you have to turn to the left and get enough arrows in there so you can stand. You don't become unbalanced. How many arrows of truth will you take? Well, the world even says it. The truth hurts. How many know the truth hurts? Well, sanctify them through the truth. It's when you give up drinking, you that are born again, when you receive truth. When you look in the mirror and you receive, that's how I gave up smoking. I received the truth. The world even warns you. Big sign up there, the Surgeon General has determined that these things will kill you. A killjoy. Huh? Well, are you judging people? No, I'm just saying that some people are in on the verge of seeking that truth. And just let them receive it, okay? Now listen, just in the proportion as the truth is given up, so will it be also that worldliness and frivolous living, they'll be sure to prevail. The truths that you give up, or the things that you get back into, then worldliness creeps in. I believe the church that doesn't grow in grace will grow in loving the amusements of the world. Well, that's the way it's been, and that's the way it will always be. Give the devil an inch and you'll take a mile. He can't take your life, that's already hidden in Christ. And so then there's a warning there. Don't depart from the truth. And the church, which in a living way holds fast the truth, once and for all, we should say, delivered to the saints, will always separate itself from the ways of the world. Well, I'm not saying that you wear old corny clothes and flower up your face and look uglier than sin itself. That hasn't got nothing to do with it. My God isn't threatened by Max Factor. He isn't threatened by eyeshadow. It's the shadows in our hearts. Now, I'm not talking about that, see. I'm talking about being honest and realistic in your walk. In fact, the world and the worldly church will avoid it. They'll fear it like they did the madman in the tombs ministry. He came and he was sitting there, Brookheim, a little dabble, do ya? He was sitting all slicked up. And they were fearful of him. Why? He had received the truth. And it says they looked on him and they became fearful. See, the more separated we are, after our master's fashion, I mean, just give your whole life. Don't worry about your rep. What's that, rep? Reputation. Reputations are made to lose. You ever see these old gun shows? Sooner or later, they all lose their reputations. Or some kid plugs them in the back. You've heard all those little old Western shows. They have them all the time. Same in somebody. Now you're going down, you're getting slow on the draw. He straps on his guns for the last time, and the woman's weeping, and he goes out the door, and she's hanging on to his ankles, and he kicks her off into the corner. Be back, my love. So her big, strong man goes out, and she's hiding behind some corner at the very end after he's shot several guys, and his old arthritic hand is about ready to give in because the big man's got to go down yet. See, and clock's just about high noon. And the wife steps around from an old grandfather clock and plugs the guy, see. You hearing this? Kind of like us, we have to come to the truth, don't we? We all need help. But notice here how careful our Lord is as to our commission, which I believe and I know is based on His very own commission and declares to be as certain and real as His own sending by the Father. He values it so much that he says like this, Father, sanctify them. Get them into some gun battles. Hear those prayers always, will you? Father, sanctify them. You get sanctified through a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of battles and a whole lot of high noons and a whole lot of the bad guys coming and riding into town. But we receive that by we hear that and we hear that. Father, keep them, and Father, sanctify them, and that makes us to stand. With our loins girt, and our shoes on our feet, and our lamps trimmed, and our lights burning. Ready, I believe, to go forth at the very command of the Most High to the very ends of the earth, or wherever God sends you. Because our mission by Jesus grows out of His mission by the Father. And I think we can learn much about it by considering how the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so first let's consider what our Lord's being sent involved to Himself. And I believe you'll see to a very large extent there will be a parallel between His being sent and our being sent. Of course, then the parallel is drawn by the way of quality, not equality. His commission is on a much higher level or scale than ours. We can only imitate, we can't negotiate. We can only offer a finished work. We can't take any of the glory for it. We can only glorify Him by being sent by the one that was sent of the Father. People are looking all over for someone that is sent. Look at Rev Moon. What an opposite, the sun and the moon. Doesn't that tell you something? Night and day. Doesn't that tell you something? And people are flocking to Reverend Moon. It's the fastest growing church in the world. Even after this tax evasion thing and all of these different things like that and this imprisonment and all that, You have to kind of look at that and say, wow. This is the fastest growing church, I said, in the world. Because it is of the world. Doesn't that say something to all these sent ones of God that are just sitting and placing the responsibility on a preacher or a teacher or someone? And half of the preachers and half of the teachers aren't even ministering the gospel. They're ministering get-rich-quick schemes. And Rev Moon is out there and he's got people selling flowers all over the place. Doesn't that kind of tell you that if we had as much dedication to the truth, that you'd see a whole lot of holy action going on? Well, doesn't it? I mean, I seen a picture on TV and this place was crowded with Moonies. Reflections of Rev Moon. Moonies. I bet their song is Shine On, Shine On, Shine On Reverend Moon. I ain't had no lovin' since they put the old gent in jail. That irritates me. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, here we have all the power of the universe, and we're sitting around, dividing the truth. Aren't we good at dividing the truth? It's like cutting up a piece of meat. Here's your portion of the truth, and your portion of the truth, and your portion of the truth. And so it loses its power. Because we're not dedicated enough. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It only takes a little bit of good to overcome a whole lot of evil, but nobody's rolling in that BB of faith and good up against what's coming on. Now you see in the political scene, and let me put myself out on a branch here. Well, why not? There'll probably be some Christian back there sawing on it anyway. Huh? Let's go out on a spiritual limb here. Did you ever see in politics where they get in somebody to gather a whole group of people? And after the whole group of people come to the aid of this person, then they transfer all the votes over to someone else? Beware the Ides of March. Beware the times. You know, there's a whole group of people and Christians. And if they knew that they were sent to minister the gospel and not get into politics, we'd see a lot more happening while we're busy getting into those types of things. What's happening? Rev Moon is coming on strong. Gaddafi is coming on strong. Well, what are you sent to do? Campaign? Well, I just think Christians should be involved in every aspect of life. I don't. That's like saying everybody should be a dog catcher. Are you hearing this? And so we have a finished work, don't we, to minister. Are you ready to minister a finished work? Still in our drop in the ocean, there is a likeness, isn't there? The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. What is your light? Your light is Jesus. Not your opinions about public servants and political shim-sham. And so our Lord's mission, I think we ought to bear on this. Our Lord's mission involved complete subjection to the Father's will. That's something you don't hear about at all now. Everybody knows God's will because they studied their Bible. Well, I know what the will of God is. And if I don't know, I can go ask some spiritual shrink. Somebody that can lay their hands on me and say, yes, it's coming through now. You're going to marry? It's coming through. See him coming through the door. Huh? Yes, it's God's will, this person says, that you marry that. Reverend Moon did that. He picked out all of the people that were going to marry each other. Oop, over here. Over there. I mean, oh, he's a man. He got tired after a while. Everybody walked towards each other. And they all walked. That's it. Put blindfolds on. Did you see that wedding on TV? Thousands, see, that got married. No period of courting, nothing. Reverend Moon put them together. How did you two get together? How did you meet each other? Let's hear about the love affair that you had. I mean, this courting back and forth. How did you meet Daddy, Mama? Reverend Moon put us together. How exciting is that? Isn't that exciting? Well, how did he know? Oh, he was sent of God to tell us that. People fall for all that, don't they? Why? Because the sent ones aren't sending out a message. There's no interference to that kind of thing. He said, my Father is greater than I. I'm not saying that this related to his essential nature and dignity as God. But you see, it's the position he took in reference to the Father who sent him as a Savior. He that sendeth is greater than he that is sent. I mean, the Savior took up the subordinate position that he might do the Father's will. Why can't we do that? Why can't we be subordinates to do the Father's will, and we pray and get the Father's will, instead of being know-it-alls? Do you realize what a pressure that would be on your mind to know it all? No. From that time on, he did only as he was told what he was sent to do. He didn't even speak his own words. These words which I speak are not from me, they're from the Father. Nor his own deeds, these things that you see me do. No, he listened to the Father's will, and those that are sent will listen to what the Lord has to do, the sender. And what did he say? I send you out into the world to minister the gospel unto all creation. And so he listened to the Father's will. And what the Father said to him, he both spoke and he also did. Thy will be done. I mean, why even pray if you're so sure of God's will? Why even bother? And people say, they do damnable things. They say, I prayed about it. Well, I prayed about it. This is exactly where we have to place ourselves now. Right in this very end age, we have to place ourselves there deliberately, unreservedly. Our Lord sends us and we are to obey no matter what. We're no longer, the Bible says, our own master. We have to become servants. Our will, in other words, is lost in the glorious will of our superior. And so now it just becomes a natural flow of things. See, because if we are ambitious and our ambitions are guided by wisdom, it takes us right down to the basin and the bowl and the towel. We start to condescend down to what Jesus really wanted us to do, wash someone else's feet. Not for show or not for glow, but as an act of obedience, a humbling, if you will. And so then, from then on, and are you hearing this? Oh, glory, hear it. You're listening on the radio. Wake up. You're getting ready for a trip to Israel again. You'll just leave your suitcase alone for a minute and stop sending yourself over to Israel every year. Or to some hyper-message place, see. Well, all we do is talk about faith and do nothing about it. Faith without works is dead. And so I think we henceforth have no respect unto our own dignity or interest. But we shall lay ourselves out to serve him to whom we belong. So much giving has a price tag on it. Well, we say it's just a spiritual truth. Allow me then to say your motive is wrong, and that also is the truth. Because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you got to try it first. Don't you? You have to really try giving. And then, then you receive. See, the receiving is really the blessedness. The happy we will be happens when you give. And I'll tell you something, folks. That is not of the world. The world doesn't want to give anything. You hearing this? No, maybe, I have nothing to give. You got plenty to give. You got your time, you got your energy, you have your life. Yeah, but seems like I give my life, nobody else does. Don't worry about other people's lives. You're not to give them anyway. You're to give your own. How about them over there? They got 1 foot over on the other side of Funsville, 1 foot in the Lord. They go back and forth. Are they happy? Are they blessed? No. I get letters all the time from miserable folks. And a barrage of phone calls. Misery, the world says, loves company. But I don't like to be with miserable people. No, the only thing you're carrying on your shoulders is yourself. That isn't easy to do. Got to be some kind of a contortionist, but people do it. I don't know how they do it. They work at it! Oh, God, they do. See, misery takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Being miserable takes a lot of work. Now, what am I going to be miserable about today?
There you have it. That was part one of episode 220, The Scent Sends. Be sure to listen to part two in the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you, all you veterans. We love you.
You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord.